In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our approach to the end of another liturgical year continues as we hear the divine words of promise and invitation, the promise of deliverance, salvation, and eternal life in the day of the resurrection of all flesh. The promise is, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 7:9 predicts the redeemed will be a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. And today we sing of that hope in the words inspired by Jesus in Matthew 8, saying, a multitude comes from the east and the west to sit at the feast of salvation with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the blessed, obeying the Lord's invitation. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. We pray for God's continued help and mercy, only that we may be among those who faithfully obey the Lord's invitation. For we are told today, many will not. The question is, what is the key to know that we will be in that number when the saints go marching in? There's a great contrast and great divide in today's scripture readings. On the one hand, is the amazing, gracious announcement of God's great love in his offer of salvation as a wonderful gift. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. God's invitation is intended for all people. So all people are invited to come to the feast. Jesus' parable today, however, says there is a problem. Though all people are invited, not all people will be there. The bottom line is that the great banquet of heaven, the wedding feast of Jesus, the bridegroom, and his bride, the church, is in the glory of the new eternal life, is a totally free gift. How do we usually say it? Neither earned nor deserved by us, by our works, our preparations. But now that does not mean, as some might be tempted to think, that because I contribute nothing to my salvation and there is nothing I can do, that means all people will be saved in the end without doing anything. That's the false teaching of universalism. It's clearly not what the Bible teaches. That would be a great surprise. I've heard it even preached that way. But that's not what the surprise party is all about. The great surprise, the greatest surprise, is while God has done everything for the salvation of all people, the whole world, and issued his clear invitation to all people through his word, the surprise is that not all will be there. Not all will inherit the great gift of eternal life. And why not? There's only one reason. Because they somehow don't measure up? No. But simply because they refuse the invitation. In the blindness of our separation, the separation of all people, and the sinful nature, everyone naturally thinks, of course, that if there is a God, he's obviously mad at us because of our sin, and that his anger can only be assuaged or appeased by means of becoming acceptable to him by our own good works, by somehow being good enough. But notice, the King of the Kingdom of Heaven does not limit his invitation to the feast to anyone. In any way. Come to the wedding feast. Now who, I ask you, in their right mind, would not accept that invitation. It is not based on your good works or anything in you, but solely upon God's love, His gracious and merciful love. That's it. Who would not accept that invitation? The parable tells us of those who pay no attention, busying themselves merely in the day-to-day occupations of the world. And we are living in a day-to-day just like that, where very few people, and even fewer by the year, pay any attention to the invitation of God, because they don't see their need for it. But it's even worse, as you know, as now we even see people aligning themselves with organizations such as the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is just short, I suppose, of the total denial called atheism. Bringing up religion in any context is politically incorrect. People don't want to hear the invitation, nor do they want anyone else to hear it. Some because they wrongly think they know it already. Others even trying to force silence on those delivering the invitation. The voice of the church is being forced to be silent in many places. But they paid no attention and went off, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king says, those invited were not worthy. Again, it wasn't because they weren't good enough, but because of their rejection of his invitation of love. But the invitation have not yet all been delivered. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find, both bad and good. And again, the invitation is to all. It really is. Both the bad, those who know their sin and need, and even the good, those who still think of their own goodness. The point is their acceptance of the invitation. Now, part of that invitation to salvation is that in addition, God provides the proper attire for his guests, the wedding garment. When you were baptized, you have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ, who covers you and takes away your sin. This too is the gift of God, not based on your own works. But now you see, there is a surprise ending to the parable. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, remember we heard that word used before addressing one of those who worked all day in the vineyard and whose accusation of the Lord was clearly in the wrong. And remember that we will hear that word again spoken to Judas, who betrayed Jesus, friend. How did you get in here without a wedding garment? Followed by absolute silence. Guy didn't know what to say. What could you say? What should he say? He was speechless. There can be no good reason for refusing the wedding garment. The man in the parable clearly refused the wedding garment, preferring to appear on his own terms, as himself. Let's be real. And who are you in yourself? I heard you say it earlier as we began today, saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal, right now, and eternal, right then, punishment. And that's why we gathered here claiming to be in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is, as those baptized into Christ, clothed by God with the wedding garment of his righteousness. Now, because God's love and offer of salvation is for all, the greatest surprise is not that sinners will be in that number when the saints go marching in. The greatest surprise is that there are those who refuse either the invitation or God's gift of righteousness. So, never take off that garment for any reason, especially for the reason of pride of self. It's only to those who humbly receive the King's invitation and his preparation of you by water and the word who will be joyfully seated at the banquet of salvation in eternity. Count on it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.